He stared at me. I stared at him. The hair on my back shot up. His fell over his forehead and into his horrible red eyes. A growl leaped into the deepest lurch of my throatillary region. He answered with a... I wasn't sure what it was. A growl, a grunt, a groan. It wasn't a bark, but it was enough to convince me that I needed to get out of there. We're talking about rapid exit, fellers. I didn't know where I was going, and I didn't know how I was going to put distance between me and that mummy monster when my feet were spinning on the slick linoleum floor. But I was fairly determined to get the heck out of there. Real determined. I didn't know what little Alfred planned to do, but I made a dash for the cabinet under Sally Mae's sink. Only the stupid door was closed, and okay, I had no choice but to leap up on the counter and then dive through the window. I mean, I was that scared and that determined to get away from that horrible, awful mummy monster. So I went into a deep crouch and then exploded upward, landed on the counter with all four... Honey? Okay, I landed in the honey puddle with all 4 feet, but at least I was on my way out of that scary place. And once on the counter, once in the stupid honey puddle, I had tried to warn little... But we had no time for that. No time to mourn over what might have been or should have been, fellers. I wanted out, out, out. So once I had encumbered myself upon the counter, I turned and began the process of targeting my huge, enormous body towards the window and plotting my... Yipes! He was slouching in my direction, staring at me with those horrible, squinty, puffy red eyes that were filled with... I don't know what, but here he came, slouching and slumping in my direction like the corpse of a dead-bodied mummy is what he looked like to me. And without bothering to look where I was going, I slammed the old gear shift up into road gear and went flying into a canister of flour. And what a dumb place to put a canister of flour. Who had been so careless as to put a canister of flour on the kitchen counter? This was an outrage, and I couldn't be held responsible for the flour mess that occurred when the canister flew off the counter and hit the, well, the floor. A huge, omnivorous silence fell upon us as all of us, even the mummy monster, stared at the... Gee, what a mess. But I refused to be held... He spoke. The mummy monster spoke. Here's what he said.
Did y'all happen to notice the house is full of smoke?
The voice sounded sort of familiar. Okay, maybe... Forget the business about the mummy monster. What we had here, it was just Slim, see? Wrapped up in a sheet, but he sure looked... He continued.
The house is full of smoke because some bird brain forgot to open the damper.
Alfred and I exchanged glances.
Under the circumstances, I'll have to give myself credit for that mess, but this...
He shot a bony finger at the, flower and so forth.
Somebody's neck is liable to get wrung over this deal, and it ain't gonna be mine.
Just then, we were saved by the bell. No kidding. Remember the timer Alfred had set down on the kitchen table? Well, just at that very exact moment, it went off, causing Slim to jump. He stared at it, then sank into a chair and dragged some of the hair out of his eyes.
What's that for?
Alfred told him. Slim nodded.
I tried to tell her, stubborn woman. And like I said, I ain't got the energy to go looking for her.
He heaved a sigh.
Button, for future reference, you can't build a fire in the stove without the damper open.
Okay, Swim.
He pushed himself up out of the chair.
I'll open the damper and chunk up the fire, and then I'm going back to bed. Y'all better start cleaning up that... Boy, I can't stay awake. On his way back to bed, he opened the damper and threw some logs into the stove. Opening the damper helped a bunch. All at once, the smoke started going up the chimney instead of into the house. We heard the bed springs groan and squeak under his weight. Moments later, the sounds of 32 head of wild hogs reached our ears. Okay, it was his snoring, but it sounded as loud as a bunch of wild hogs. Anyways, he was gone again, and little Alfred and I were alone again. We looked at the flour mess on the floor, some of which, by the way, had combined with the previous honey mess. We both fell into deepest despair.
Hanky, what if Fio was stuck in a snowdrift?
Well, if she was stuck in a snowdrift, she was stuck in a snowdrift. What else could you say? Nobody on our place could help her. Alfred was thinking about something. I could see at a glance that whatever he was thinking about didn't involve cleaning up his mother's kitchen. That worried me. At last, he revealed his thoughts.
Hanky, I bet we could drive the pickup and go find Viola.
I stared at him. Was he kidding? Him? Drive the pickup out into... That was the craziest idea I'd heard, and no, I wanted no part of such... Go out into this howling storm? No!
I think we could do it. I know how to drive the pickup.
Oh, yeah, sure. When Slim was there to start it up and put it in gear, that wasn't driving, that was steering. I turned my back on him and assumed the pose of shunning. I heard his steps behind me. He seemed to be heading.
Well, I'm gonna try. You and Drover can come if you want, or y'all can stay here and beat chickens.
Chickens? Since when was a chicken to use sound judgment, to be mature, to be... Okay. If a little snipe was going out into the storm, I needed to be there to protect him from... This was crazy. We marched out into the utility room. Alfred found a pair of warm gloves and a wool stocking cap. Whilst he was pulling them on, I turned to the ball of white fur on the floor. Get up, Drover. We're going out on a rescue mission. His head came up and his eyes crossed. Out in this storm? That's correct. If it weren't snowing, we wouldn't need a rescue mission. All these things fit together.
Yeah, but what about my leg?
Bring it along. This is all hands on deck.
Yeah, but I don't have any hands. All I've got is feet.
That's close enough. Move out, soldier, and I don't want to hear any more of your opinions. He whined and moaned, but I ignored him. Alfred opened the door, and we trooped out into the gag. That wind was terrible.
It took our breath away. We could hardly see the yard gate through the blowing snow.
Drover moaned and shivered.
I want to go home.
Hush, you are home. Home is where the heart is.
My heart's frozen.
Look at the bright side, Drover. As long as your heart is frozen, you'll never get heartburn.
This is crazy, and that's not funny.
I'm sorry, son. It's the best I can do. Now hush. We lowered our heads into the wind and followed the boy across the snow-drifted yard, out the gate, and up the hill to the place where Slim had parked the pickup. If we were lucky, Alfred wouldn't be able to start it. Then we could go back into the house, satisfied that we had done our best. We reached the pickup. The wind-blown snow hit our faces like BBs. Alfred reached up, seized the door handle, and pulled the door open, struggling against the wind. When he finally got it open, he pointed inside. Okay, here went nothing. I nudged Mr. Squeakbox with my nose. He jumped inside, and I followed. We sat down on the... That was the coldest pickup seat I had ever experienced. It was hard, brittle, and frigid, and my hiney wasn't proud of me for making it sit down on such a block of ice. Alfred struggled his way into the cab, and the wind slammed the door behind him. The wind was rocking the pickup. Our respective breaths made balloons of fog in the air. Okay. Now what? Alfred sat down behind the wheel.
Good grief, he couldn't even see over the dashboard. How was he going to... This would never work. We could only hope that he wouldn't remember how to start the engine. But he was thinking about it. I could see that. He was trying to remember all the steps Slim went through when he started the thing. Tension hung in the frozen air like... I don't know what, but we were all tense and nervous, all of us but little Alfred, and he didn't seem worried at all. He studied the controls, the gear shift, and so forth. Then he spied the key. His eyes brightened.
I think you're supposed to turn the key, and that'll start the motor.
Yes, but that was step two. Step one called for the driver to push in the clutch. And Alfred's legs were so short, they couldn't even reach the clutch, much less push it to the... He turned the key. The pickup lurched forward. Holy smokes. He'd managed to start the dadgum pickup while it was in gear, and we were moving. All the brightness went out of Alfred's face when he realized what he'd done. His eyes became big white saucers, and he said,
"Uh-oh, I think we're gonna have a wreck."
He was right about that.